Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will freely forgive. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word, God, for the promises of it, Lord, but also even the warnings. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're a jealous God, that you're a holy God, a righteous God, a God that desires us to flee brokenness, immorality, wickedness, Father, and to run to the cross in humble repentance, Lord, placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, turning from what we are into what you desire to make us become. We commit this to you and all tonight. Hide me behind the cross that you might move as only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 6 again. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Two interesting things that if you read really quickly, you might miss. Seek the Lord what? While he may be found. What does that speak to? Speaks to the fact that there is a time frame to the period of time that in our lives he will be found. The Lord is not an amusement park that you show up at when you decide to go have fun. The Lord is not a thing you show up at on Sunday mornings, you put your Holy Spirit life preserver on, and then your little religion on and go to church and act Christian, go home, hang it up, and then go back to living. No, I'm sorry, it's not biblical. And that is in no way the reality of what being a follower of Jesus Christ is. So when you seek the Lord while he may be found, and then also a second level of this, call to him while he is near. What does that speak to? He will not always be near. He will not always, as we sing in some hymns, tarry. Tarry means wait. You heard me say time and time again to disciples, the call of disciples, beautiful picture of the fact God doesn't serve man, man serves God. Amen? God's gracious, he's merciful. Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb, was led like the sheep to the slaughter. No words. By the way, the sacrificial lamb is now the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's conquered. That is not the Jesus that we knew now. He is now one who is zealous for his people. He is jealous also for his honor. God is jealous for his holiness and his glory. First thing that I want to share comes out of that verse 6, and it's this: do not assume God will be there until you're done having fun. Don't assume God will be there until you're done having fun. Again, number one, you can read is Proverbs 1, Romans 1. You can go all through Scripture, and it will talk to you about the ramifications of believing that God's going to sit around while you decide to sow your wild oats. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not biblical. It is actually a demonic philosophy that God desires you to go sow your wild oats and go have your fun. It's just not biblical. It's not truth, and therefore we're going to call it for what it is. It's a lie straight from hell itself. What is deception and sin? It's designed to destroy. When the Scripture says it's better not to know the way of righteousness, it's better not to know at all. Never heard it. Never heard, never seen, never experience. Better not to know the way of righteousness than, differentiating, than to know the way of righteousness. You ready for the kicker? And to turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you as a dog returns to its vomit. Ouch. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that right there is scary. Amen? Better not to know. Better never to have heard. By the way, what happens if you don't know and then you never hear? You're still going to hell, right? We know that. Because why? The heavens declare the glory, the earth the work of his hand. So the very creation itself screams, said, from the foundations of the world, so that men are without excuse. The great Rifafu, I told you about that. Indigenous tribe, never contacted by humans. These European guys from Europe go over there and they break into this tribe. Baiting takes them 2 years to get in there and learn the language from a tribe that lived in a whole other part of the jungle. And then they finally were able to connect through the people in this tribe. Remember, they're worshiping the great Rifafu and they're living in the perfect garden. Right? These people are worshiping a creator and they've never heard the gospel apart from, to me, would be in Acts chapter 2, when God assembled people from all people, group, and nations all over the world. So you want to tell me, well, how would they know? The heavens declare the glory, the earth the work of his hands. You merely need to look out the door, the window, the beach, and anywhere else to say, this could not just happen. And it makes the very picture right there of us worshiping the Creator, whether we've heard of him or not. But don't assume that God's going to be there when you get done having fun. It's all fun and games, right? Because, you know, you just need to have a little fun. It's life. No, as a matter of fact, the scripture tells us to flee. Flee. Evil desires the heart, wickedness, and all of the other things. So then the first part of verse 7, it even goes a step further. You hear me say this? And all right, so don't run. Don't assume God's going to be there. Call on him right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. You're assuming, the assumption is that tomorrow will happen. The Bible doesn't promise tomorrow. In that first part, let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Wow. Abandon it. Not only abandon the way, abandon the thoughts. Second thing I want to share with you comes from that first part of verse 7 tonight is this. The time for the Lord is now. Flee wickedness. The time for the Lord is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not teenagers when you get done having fun, right? You get done your dating years and you find somebody to marry, then we'll start getting serious about the Lord. I always tell teenagers, let me sit down with you. I got a website I'll take you, a few of them I'll take you to, of young people just like you that thought they'd have tomorrow, and tomorrow never came. It didn't. It ended on a road somewhere. It ended in a house somewhere. Every single night, all over this nation, every night, multiple homes, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Are you the parent of so-and-so? Yes. What's going on? I hate to inform you, but they are dead. That's what they say. They don't say pass away. They taught us in police academy, you don't tell someone their child has passed away. You don't tell them they have moved on. You have to tell them your child is dead. That's what they tell you to say word for word. Because they don't accept the other. If you say they have passed away, the parent does not understand what's happened in the trauma of that moment. Do you know there's parents tonight? One of the hardest and toughest things that a parent can ever hear is that knock on the door. But it happens. And see, we think we're immune to it. We think that nice little boy, that nice little girl, oh no, he gets your daughter in the car, he gets going about 80 or 90 miles an hour. Why? He wants to impress her. My child ain't getting in no car. I'm just sorry. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because I know them too well. All of them. Oh, no, he's a nice... You just keep telling yourself that, and when you hear... Remember what Brother Jonathan told you. I wouldn't let my child in a car with somebody until they are 18 years old. I'm sorry it ain't going to happen. You know why? I wrote the book on it. I don't care how nice they are. I can tell you stories that'll make you cringe, not even about me, about people you'd go, there was no way in the world that this person could do what happened. I saw things that would be catastrophic to you mentally. You would lock all your kids up, never let them out. Because we don't understand what is in the heart of a child. The Bible tells us, though, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. It devises wickedness of the wickedest way. Amen? That's why, who is the guard of your children's integrity? Us! Well, they're 16. They need to start making decisions. You just keep telling yourself that. Just enjoy it. You say it. And when you come to me and tell me, I won't say it, but I promise you, I'll go home and say that I told them, I said it, I preached it, I continued to say it, but they didn't listen. I won't tell you that, though. But I want to assure you tonight, I say it once you're gone. Because the truth is the truth, whether you accept it or not. You believe that your child's going to guard their own integrity, you are what the Bible calls a fool. They cannot. They are incapable of guarding their integrity. You give your child a phone, God forbid, you get what you get. And I'm telling you that from the heart of hearts, in the heart of love and compassion. If any child in our church body has a phone, God forbid, parent, you will stand before God for it one day. I'm sorry, your child cannot control themselves. They cannot. There is no way possible. We learned that in my house, and we did a repossession, if you know what that means, and our daughter didn't get it back till she was almost 18 years old. No ifs, ands, buts, earn back, no. You don't earn that level of trust back. I'm sorry. It won't happen. It can't, and it is not going to. You know why? Because the time for the Lord is now, and it's time to flee wickedness. How do you do that? What does the Bible say? You cut off the hand, you cut the foot, you cut the eye. Well, thank you. That's all you got to do. You pluck a phone plumb out of there, snatch them bald-headed from that phone. Why do they need it? Oh, we need to. Oh, you just keep telling yourself that. I'll just tell you what they have right now. They have a phone. The only people they can call is you. They can't get on the internet. They can't Snapchat. They can't Instagram. They can't hide the thousands of apps right now that can hide from you, and you know not that it's on the phone. It hides everything from you. And your little girl or little boy shows up missing. I'm telling you, don't wail at my door, because you get what you get. I'm telling you, this is the day we're living in. We are living in wicked days, a level of wickedness that's beyond comprehension and understanding for my generation, and most assuredly anybody older than me. I can't fathom. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm getting to the age right now where I can't even keep up. There are so many. The complexity of these kids' apps on the phones now have gotten so much that I no longer can keep up with them. Therefore, that's why I am assured that I cannot have a phone in my house with my children. There's no way. Because I am not going to allow my child, in the foolishness of that young heart, to have pictures that will never be erased on the internet. I can send you story after story from the kids' mouths themselves, saying it would never happen to them. Christian homes, Christian parents, church going, sitting in church every week, shouting glory, hallelujah, living a life you'd never know. See, let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. How could it happen when we have parents paving the doorway for a child to do that? Do you think your child, your mama, daddy, I just realized this is not, the phone thing's not for me. I'd probably pass out if I heard a child say that, because I'd think something's inherently wrong with them. You know what they're going to say? Oh, Mama, you know I'd never do that. Daddy, I would never do that. I'm not that foolish. I understand. You'll hear that part. And they'll walk right out of the door, and if you could only hear what they say after you walk around the corner, you'd never give them back another one. If you could hear some of the conversations I've been privileged to and privied to and the things that I've seen, it would astound you. What I recognize is the depravity of human heart is just that. It's depraved. So therefore, you have to set up ramparts and walls of protection to protect your children and parents. Again, God forbid, if we are the agent with which the enemy creeps into our children's lives because we, through complacency, apathy, indifference, and excuses, convince ourselves that our children need this gateway of brokenness. And then adults. Let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so he may have compassion on him. So we're seeing this wicked one abandon the way, the sinful one his thoughts. Now we got this call to run from this to what? Turn to the Lord. Guess what? This shows someone who was in fellowship with the Lord but decided to excuse themselves from it. So that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he'll freely forgive. So we're seeing this turnaround right at the moment that someone has been caught in this wickedness, these sinful thoughts. It's saying return to the Lord so he can have compassion to God so he freely forgives. And now we'll go really quickly to Proverbs because I just want to tie this in. So if you don't, if you decide that you're enjoying what you're doing and you're going to take a hiatus from the Lord for whatever determined time that you decide to do it, and you're just strolling on into hell and enjoying the smell of it, deciding though at one point you will transition back into, listen, wisdom calls out in the street. Exactly what this is saying in Isaiah 55 in verse 7. It's saying, return to me so I can have compassion on you. No, wisdom calls out. She raises her voice. She's saying in the public squares, what? How long will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and your fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, this is giving the thing, okay, listen, you're out there. Listen to what I'm saying. You respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Since I called out to you and you refused, I extended my hand, no one paid attention to me. You neglected all my counsel. Oh my goodness, this is getting deep. You neglected all of my counsel. You did not accept my correction. What is this? This is a believer. This is not a person who is an unregenerate follower of Christ. God doesn't correct the lost. Amen? He corrects who? As a father disciplines a son that he loves, showing sonship, showing adoption, showing that they're a regenerate follower of Jesus Christ. God does not correct the lost. Beautiful picture right there. You didn't accept my correction. This is scary. I will in turn laugh at your calamity. And I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when trouble and stress overwhelm you. Scariest of all. Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will search for me, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, they did not choose to fear the Lord. They were not interested in my counsel and rejected all of my correction. They then will eat the fruit of their way and will be glutted with their own schemes. For the turning away of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens, the Lord will live in security and be free from that fear of danger. I will go as far as to say, I don't think besides that in Romans 1, there are two more powerful pictures of the limits of God's mercy and grace. See, we like to think that we can do whatever we want and God's going to be fine with it. I'll tell you what, I beg you to find that and stand up and give me a decent explanation for those scriptures if that's your thinking. You can get on TV and listen to one of them guys and sell you a sunshine, bubblegum, rainbows. You can do it all day long, but I'm talking about the scripture. Let's let the scripture speak for itself, amen? And by the way, it's not even speaking in, oh, we've got to try to interpret this. I'll be honest, I just don't find there any easier one to interpret in the scriptures than that right there. We're talking about regenerate believers that tell God, you can take a flying leap. I'll be back when I decide to come back. You think God one day doesn't say, I'll tell you what, you just keep on and keep on. I'm trying to correct you. I'm trying to rebuke you. I'm trying to draw you back to myself. Oh, you're going to spit in my face? Again, transition that other scripture. It's better not to know than to know. Turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. I'm getting too loud. My watch said I'm getting a little bit too loud in here tonight. No joke. My decibel rating was a little bit high. Praise the Lord. Amen. The second thing I'm going to share with you, again, the time for the Lord is now. Flee wickedness. Flee it. Run from it. Do whatever you've got to do. Whatever it requires, run and don't look back. Because if you do, there's compassion from God. And that God will freely forgive. I love that. It doesn't say he'll just forgive you. It says he freely forgives. You think you have tomorrow? You think you can play around with the gift of God's grace and his mercy and salvation and there not be consequences? You can keep convincing yourself. You can stay. You can sit in here and think about something else while I'm preaching and just say, well, I'm not hearing. No. You can do that. You know why? The bad part about it is you're hearing it whether you want to hear it or not. Because, see, God has sent a watchman on the wall for all of us, including myself. The question is, what are we going to do with wisdom? Are we going to find out when we're the one pleading for God's mercy and anxiety and depression and fear have so overwhelmed you in your sin after God has departed that you lay there in your brokenness and you plead and you cry out for him to do nothing more than mock and laugh? Man, that's scary, but it's biblical. I have no basis to say that if there is not a scripture that is black and white, plain as day, pleading for mercy right here, pleading for us to embrace that mercy, to live in the midst of his grace, to recognize that there is no hope, there is no peace, there is no path but God's path, his purpose, his plan. Or will one day you be the one that screams the title of this message? Are you still there? Where have you gone? Lord, where are you? You found it not worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so he gives you over to a depraved mind to do what ought not be done. You find yourself filled with every kind of evil, greed, depravity. You find yourself as a slander, God-hater, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. Oh, I couldn't do that as I'm sitting in a church, so I'll just make sure I stay. Oh, really? Really? Oh, yes, you can. I promise. I've seen it time and time again. As a matter of fact, the danger of staying and hearing the message is that the scripture says the deceitfulness of sin hardens the heart. So then you sit in the assembly shouting glory, hallelujah, amen, whatever hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, exactly how the scripture warns. That's why, sadly, it is very difficult to enact church discipline as it is laid out in Scripture. Because why? Well, they don't like the, okay, I'll just go down the street because they'll openly embrace my sin.
Sadly, that's what's become the norm. Well, they can embrace your sin all day long. But I know one thing. When the destruction ensues, I can promise you one thing. They won't be in the midst embracing your excitement and joy in your judgment. You will stand supremely guilty of your own blood. And those who spoke out to, what does the Bible say, to dissuade you from your wickedness will stand blameless, and the blood will not be on their hands. But those who did not speak out, as the Bible says, those who do not speak out to dissuade you from your wickedness, you will die for your sin, and God will hold them accountable for your blood. Scripturally, word for word, you want to be a watchman on the wall, one who stands for truth and righteousness, and it doesn't matter if you lose everyone in your life. Everyone. I don't care if you lose your wife, your husband, your children, your family, your church, your pastor. I'm talking about standing for truth, not your interpretation of truth, but what truth and the truth of God's word, the unchanging. And by the way, I wouldn't look at the last 40 years of that truth either. I would look for what stood throughout the ages, the truth of God's word, not what it was promised about in the last days. The wickedness, look at 1st and 2nd Timothy, look all through scripture, by the way. Because see, there is an incredible magnifying glass that's stuck on this age that we're in right now, 2nd Timothy chapter 4, that speaks of the time when men will not stand anymore for sound doctrinal teaching. They will gather around them many teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Isn't it wonderful when we can surround ourselves with people that tell us, Facebook, what we want to hear? When you know you're not doing right, just get on there and send a little bait out there so everybody can pat you on the back, literally, and make you feel good as you head straight to hell in a handbasket. Because your life is everything that's so far from truth. But you want somebody to stand around you and sing kumbaya and tell you how amazing you are. You can find thousands of them. I beg to differ when you call them friends. They're not your friends. They don't care. By the way, let me read you something. This is rich. I didn't know when I was going to pull this out and read it, but I sent it to a couple of people to encourage them. It actually really applied to my life too, because it's a place that I find myself in when I have to be a person that stands in the gap for the word, because the word doesn't give me excuse, it gives me the word. The word is truth. This is a person who's been going through a battle. I said, "Dear friends, I've been struggling with a lot of things lately, and I thought maybe writing them down and putting them out there in the universe will help heal some emotional wounds and maybe help others who may struggle also. I've learned a lot over the past few years, some good things, some not so good things, but I'm sharing them all, the good and the bad. No matter how good you are to some people, they will never turn their backs on you. They will turn their backs on you. Don't take it personally. Just keep being a good person and guard your heart. You're the villain in someone's story, and that's okay." Oh, I know. Boy, that resonated, amen, for me like never before. I can tell you there's a lot of books I'm the villain in. Bible said that you would be when you stand in truth. But that's okay. Everyone has their truth. Stick to yours. Make sure it's truth. Don't try to defend yourself. Your actions speak louder than words ever will. No matter how nice your pictures are or how important the things you ever put online or post are, some people just won't ever hit a like button because it's you. The first thing that people do when they're feeling a certain way about you is to stop liking anything you post, anything you say or do. Post it anyway. Share your life and your story and put a smile on someone else's face. Not everyone has the same heart that you do, one I still struggle with on a daily basis. Just because you will do it for them doesn't mean that they will do it for you, and it's unfair to both of you to expect that. You will be excluded, and it will hurt a lot. You'll never understand why, but you will remember the pain of being left out, and you will make sure to include everyone so that one has to feel the way that you did. Your kids or future kids will be excluded, and trust me, that hurts even more because it's a great teachable opportunity.
When you put good out there into other people's worlds, good does come back. I don't believe that little, by the way, karma stuff, but call it whatever you want to call it. It's true. And if you're kind to people, God will bless your footsteps with kindness. You can't be liked by everyone, no matter how hard you try. Some people will not ever like you. Sometimes it's from personal experience. Sometimes it's from what others have said about you. Once you accept that, life gets a little easier. Friends will come and go. Unfortunately, it's life. Sometimes friendships you thought that would last forever end abruptly, and you're left wondering, why? What do I do? Stop wondering. You're never going to feel satisfied with any answer they give you. Own your part of it. Learn from it. And then close that door in that chapter. Once it's ended, you can allow new ones to begin. A simple text to see how a friend is doing, a person can mean the world to them. Just know that somebody's thinking about you and cares about you and can turn a whole day around in that little text, that encouragement. No one owes you anything. Forgive, even if you don't get an apology. Can't begin to heal while you're still holding on to that anger and hurt. Let it hurt for a moment. Forgive and let it go. You're going to be too much for some people, too loud, too opinionated, too talkative. Those people will never, ever get you. Find the ones that do. Love them hard. People are going to talk about you. Give them some good material. Extend grace to those who need it. We all struggle sometimes. Life is very tough. It's messy. It's ugly at times, but it's also beautiful. It's exciting, and it's full of adventure. Chase all of them. Be a light. Don't let anyone dull or yours make yours any less shiny. You never know who's going to be looking at you for that bit of joy, that encouragement. Go outside, go on a hike, swim, go to a restaurant, goes on these. And importantly, learn to love and forgive. Remember that you're not perfect. Perfect is boring. I want to do that on a Christian slant. I really like to. Because that's been a hard thing, and it's I thank God that he prepared me by removing me from everyone for 4 years so that I remembered that all I needed was him. I finally understand that what God knew was that had God not done that, I would have needed you to care. I would have needed to care what you think about truth. You don't preach a message out here like this because you care what people think. You've got to care about what God thinks. And if there's no one left in this building when I get done, you know what? I know I've done exactly what God wanted me to do, because when I unburden my heart with truth, see, I have, as a watchman on the wall, been faithful to truth. So this is the other part. I recognize as a watchman on the wall that when I stand before God, I will stand without your blood on my hands. And I know one thing, that the age which we live in is wicked. It's vile. It's filthy. Everybody feels like they've got to be relevant, and everybody got to feel like they've got to be woke. I'm the new this, and I'm accepting this. I'm into this call. I'm into this, and I'm into this, and I'm that, and I'm that. See, I'm not defined by that stuff. I'm not defined by what other people think about me. You can go all day long and buy from a people group because it's going to make you feel better about yourself. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to stand before God one day, and what's going to matter is what you thought about Jesus. It's not going to matter two iotas, but what it will do is show what you took away from the person and work of Jesus Christ when you were so focused on the world loving you that you forgot about the one that died for you. That's what truth is. Truth is when you hear this right here and you have a spiritual conscience and it cuts you to the core. Why? Because it's not about relevance. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. You want to play games being here? I will go as far as to tell you, I would encourage you to excuse yourself and never come back from here if you're wanting to play games. You know why? Because you're taking up airspace from people who are serious about loving Jesus Christ. If you're not serious about Jesus, there's no business being here. The danger is you continue to hear the truth and harden your heart, and one day you'll sit there no longer with any conscience. You will have no desire for anything anymore. Why? Because you heard the truth. You became numb. You no longer care. Because the deceitfulness of sin. Why? Sitting there hardening your heart, believing I'm the issue, as opposed to God's truth being the issue. And the enemy desires to deceive you long enough so that that happens. And you no longer hear my voice in any ways. You never hear God's voice. Because what's happened is a slow progression of Proverbs 1 occurs. And the only thing you hear is the words of yourself. As you have then placed yourself as the supreme Lord and creator of your life, but then one day when you recognize the truth and you desire, oh no, I have fallen victim, whenever you realize that the fulfillment that Satan promises you can never occur, and you desire at that moment then to clamor back to God, I would urge you right now tonight to go home and read in depth Proverbs 1 again, very slowly, in a very quiet room, so you grasp the magnitude of staying softened spiritually before God, staying sensitive to the things of the Lord and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, lest we be deceived. See, we know the promise of Scripture says God cannot be mocked. Cannot be. A man reaps what he sows. Most illustrated was what happened I shared the other day, last week, in California, with that rapper, up-and-coming rapper, sitting, engaging another person on a platform, screaming it as someone came by and put 12 bullets inside his body. And on camera, live, he breathed his last breath in agony, trying to breathe. I'll never forget it the rest of my life. No causes mattered anymore. But we know what the Scripture says, don't you? We live by the sword. We die by the sword. When you write and you sing about gun violence, when you sing about shooting up places, the lyrics of this guy's stuff, all about that, back and forth, going back and forth with that. The Bible says, live by the sword, you die by the sword. You think for a moment you can dance with the devil and there not be a payday? That applies to all of us. You can't dwell in hell and then ask for the blessings of God to be showered on your life. But I'll tell you who can make you think you're getting the blessings of God when you're running from God and you're like, man, I'm being blessed. You're talking about the dominion of darkness, brothers and sisters. I've known many a people that have fallen victim to that. I've got family members that have. Multi-millionaires living in the kingdom of darkness, attributing it to the light. So dark it's not even funny. You can buy into it. Whenever you reject truth or try to make truth what you want it to be, remember, we can fashion. Remember what I tell you about our hearts, right? They're idol factories. Anybody know what I always say? Our hearts are idol factories, aren't they? You want to let your idol factory start making idols? It'll do it. But I promise you there's a payday one day. Because again, the standard's truth. It doesn't change. It's not what I say, not what I think. It's what truth says. You know how nice it would be if I could define what truth was? Well, we'd have a whole lot of leeway, brothers and sisters. We could do a whole lot of stuff that we really shouldn't be doing. But then it wouldn't be based on God. And by the way, it wouldn't be based on sinless then, would it? No, it would be based on a sinner, and therefore everything that we know, believe, ceases to be reality. I pray tonight that you are in the presence of the Lord, fellowshipping with Him. Online, same thing. If not, tonight, we have the ability to draw a line in the sand and go through the rest of this week and the rest of our lives in line with God's will, but it takes course corrections. It takes us recognizing that it's not what I think. It's not what you think. It's what God's Word says, because that's the only unchanging standard. Don't listen to anybody that has a worldly perspective or worldview. I promise you, you better find someone who loves you enough to speak truth into your life, because that's a person that loves you. That's someone that cares about you. If you don't have a person like that in your life, I would encourage and even admonish you. Find some people in your life that love you. And when you say, hey, what do you see? And they say, well, let me sit down. Let me show you. When you say it and you go, oh, I don't want to hear that. Give him a hug and say, thank you for being willing to love me that much to help me grow. Thank you for not telling me, oh, no, you're doing fine, I understand. That's a liar right there. That is a long-legged liar. And every one of us could probably call about 10 of them out of our lives right now. Because whether we know it or not, you have people in your life, I can promise you, that you think love you that don't care two flips about you. Find somebody that's in a valley. Start calling them every day. When they keep talking to you and walk you out of it, you'll find someone who loves you. But I'll tell you what you'll find out real quick. You'll find out who doesn't. Because you know what they'll do? They'll abandon you like a loaf of stale bread. Because commitment and sacrifice and love is something that continues long after the feeling stops. And on difficult days when somebody's struggling, that's the people that love you. And see, the love of God that transcends all understanding. Don't fall in love with this world, church. Because why? There'll come a day when you run from the Lord, you think it's funny, you think it's all fun and games. You're going to be shouting, screaming, are you still there? And I would encourage you to read Proverbs 1 and recognize the blood of Jesus Christ is nothing to play with or take lightly. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.